It's time for the Sports Spotlight with Jackson, Kevin, and Christian, and it starts now.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, here with Kevin Gleva, Christian Hernandez, and our special guest, Owen Pooley from the Sports Loft. Lots of big football games. Week 2 was officially underway. Had some good games, had some blowouts, had some bad games. But week 2 is officially over. So some teams are 2-0, some teams are 1-1, and some teams are 0-2, including your Indianapolis Colts. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, I mean, it all starts with the Thursday night game that was extremely eventful, and it had a kicker having 22 fantasy points. Graham Gano on the Giants had 22 fantasy points, so I bet people did enjoy that one. But this game came down to the wire. In an extremely close game, the football team edged it out and got the win. And the football team's kicker missed the kick to win the ball game. There was an offside penalty that turned out to be not offsides, and they re-kicked and nailed it. So, I mean, that game was eventful to say the least. The football team did win 30-29. And Washington, 1-1 on the season. And the Giants fall to 0-2 for the sixth straight time.
Yeah, the big thing for Washington is Taylor Heinicke, the fill-in quarterback for Fitzpatrick, coming out and throwing for 336 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also threw an interception. But overall, a pretty solid performance. And the franchise has got to be happy to see that, because just having a backup come in and be able to lead a team to a win, it may not have been the best win, as the Giants aren't the greatest team in the NFL, but it is a win nonetheless. And also Terry McLaurin having a much better game than he did week one. This week he had 107 yards and a touchdown, so he was definitely stepping up for the football team as well.
Yeah, both teams played really well. Like you said, Taylor Heinicke coming in as a backup quarterback and playing really well. Kind of came down to the wire as one of the Giants defenders jumped off sides and then missed a kick. They got the re-kick and he made it. Kind of just an overall crazy game. So,
I think one of the major things for the Giants again was their quarterback, Daniel Jones, was their leading rusher and superstar running back, Saquon Barkley, only having 57 yards in this game.
Is he really a superstar?
He's known as one. He's not playing like one, but he's known as one for what he's used to do. But, I mean, he had 30 more yards than he did in week one, but after two games, he doesn't even have 100 on the season.
I mean, I told you this before week one. I don't think he's that good. I think the Giants are trying to win one. Last one with Eli Manning are trying to be win now. So they drafted him. I think they should have went Quentin Nelson. Thank God they didn't. But I think they should have. I don't think Barkley is that good. I mean, running backs are so easy to come by. And he's a good running back. He is. I think he's coming back from an injury. But he's not a superstar. And he's not the best running back in the league. And he's far from it. And, I mean, he's a good guy. He went to Penn State and all that. He played with Trace McSorley. One of our favorite quarterbacks here in the Sports Spotlight.
Of course.
Right.
But I don't think he's the best running back or anywhere near it, and that showed. I mean, it wasn't that good.
Do you think he has
poor performance?
Do you think he has like a form of a college, you know, really good in college and just not doing super well in the NFL? Like, or do you think he has a chance?
I wouldn't say he's a bust. I mean, he won Rookie of the Year, right?
Offensive Rookie of the
Year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's shown promise in his talent, but this year he hasn't been playing well.
Yeah.
It's only been 2 matches, though, you know. It could change, but as it stands, he has been pretty bad.
Yeah, but, man, we'll see how the Giants do. They're 0-2 again. I mean, they got rolling last year at the end of the season. They barely missed the playoffs, so maybe they'll do that again. But Dallas does look like to be their clear favorite to win that division. Going to the Sunday night games, not the Sunday night, the Sunday games, starting with the 1 o'clock games, we have a game that I picked this to be correct. This was an upset. Everyone else picked the Steelers. I picked the Raiders to win against the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, And I was right. They won in Heinz Field 26-17. Derek Carr having himself a ball game once again. 382 yards, two touchdowns. And Derek Carr being the hero the Raiders need. He's back to that just a couple years ago, 2016. He was in MVP form. And so far through 2 weeks, he is the passer leading in passing yards. So, and Big Ben did not look too odd. I mean, he looked decent, I guess. But this Pittsburgh team's offense is lackluster, to say the least. And Derek Carr, the hero for the Raiders.
Yeah, Carr really just coming out of nowhere this season and going back to that MVP form, like Jackson said. He was really able to just shred the Steelers' defense, which really is what is supposed to help them the most in their games. But a big storyline for the Steelers' defense is T.J. Watt is out, or at least he left that game with an injury, so he may be out for a while. And I mean, he's one of the best defensive players in the entire league, so missing him would be a big hit to their defense.
And another thing is Devin Bush did not play in this ball game as well, and he's one of the most talented middle linebackers in the league, so that could put an effect on it. T.J. Watt leaving early and Devin Bush not playing. But the Raiders look good so far, but they always start the season hot and then they end the season rough. So, I mean, we have 15 more games since they did out of game. So, there's a lot more to know, and it's not overreaction. I mean, we're not going to overreact. And but as of right now, I mean, it looks like the Raiders are going to make the playoffs. So, going to another Sunday game that lots of people actually picked the team that I thought had no chance to win. The Niners did beat the Eagles 17-11. And lots of people did pick the Eagles to win this ball game after they did have a really good win against Atlanta, but Atlanta's not good. So the Niners start the season 2-0 as the Eagles fall to 1-1. Jimmy Garoppolo, 189, a touchdown. They had a good running attack with three backs getting runs. Garoppolo having 11 carries, 20 yards, a touchdown as well. No Trey Lance in this ball game, but the Niners get a big win.
Yeah, in week one, the Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts just exploded, had a crazy stat line, like over 300 yards. And then it was kind of that week one overreaction, thinking, oh, this, he's here to change this Philly team. But then just in the next week, 190 yards with no touchdowns. So he kind of, you know, kind of fell off, but it is only week two, so you don't really know how people are going to play throughout this season yet, but I do believe I picked the 49ers to win this one because I just didn't think the Eagles would be able to pull it off.
Yeah, I took San Francisco as well. Garoppolo looks decently promising coming through the 2 weeks. Jalen Hurts looking pretty decent, but low-scoring game. And, yeah, I just took the Giants to win this one.
Garoppolo.
And the Niners defense is pretty good.
Oh yeah, the Niners defense
holding a team led by Jalen Hurts to 11 points. That's pretty good.
You act like Jalen Hurts is some renowned.
And overall, the Eagles. I mean, they're not like they're insane,
right? I'm saying it's not like, not to throw shade or anything. It's not like it's a Zach Wilson led offense. We'll get to him later.
What?
I'm saying,
do you think Zach Wilson could lead the Eagles to beat the 49ers?
No, not the point. I think he can beat the Eagles.
Okay. We'll see. Maybe they play this year. But I'm going to another 1 o'clock game of Owen's favorite team.
The Cleveland Browns beat
the Houston Texans 31-21.
Fake news.
It's not fake news.
I did actually watch the game, so I can confirm it happened.
I just got to ask you about what happened with the punt. It was like the penalty would have made it like 3rd and 10 or something, and then they declined and went on and punted on 4th and 2.
Oh, I don't really remember what you're talking about.
The Texans are having a different strategy.
You remember that?
Yes.
The Texans have a strategy that no one else does.
I guess
don't strategy win. Of losing, apparently.
Yeah. Hey, they're 1-1. They have one more win than Colts do.
Okay,
I have a feeling that's going to change.
And they're going to end the season on one win. So
okay.
I know you see them making the playoffs, and that's your favorite team. Obviously, you didn't. We know you watched that game. We know. But big news for the Texans is Tyrod Taylor was 10-for-11, 125 in a passing touchdown. Did get injured in this ball game. Probably he will not play Thursday night. So Davis Mills came in through a touchdown and interception, 102 yards. They did end up losing. Baker Mayfield, 213 touchdown interception. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt combined for about 150 yards rushing. Big day. Browns get a big win over Owens. Favorite team.
So I do think with Tyrod Taylor being gone and the Texans saying Deshaun Watson definitely will not play, do you think that they have a chance to pick up Cam Newton?
No.
You don't think they will?
No.
Why not?
What they do pick up?
They already have enough drama with Deshaun Watson. And Cam Newton is a drama. Like, if you sign Cam Newton, that's drama. And the Texans do not want that right now. So, they will not be going after Cam Newton. I do think Cam Newton will be on a team eventually at some point this season, but not the Texans. I mean, I could be wrong. I know you want a new quarterback on your favorite team. But
I just want Tyrod Taylor back.
I know. You wanted him to win MVP, so.
I'll tell you, like, honestly, though, watching that game, when Tyrod Taylor was in there.
He didn't look that bad.
They were kind of driving pretty easily down the field. Like, more easy than I expected them to. So that injury is going to be a big hit for them.
I mean, yeah, you never know with Davis Mills.
Davis Mills. He's got, a lot of people say two first names. He's got two last names as his name.
Whoever said Mills was a first name?
No, he's got
two first names.
No, I'm saying you have like people named like Paul George. That's two first names. He has two. Davis Mills has two last names. Like, he's got an odd name.
What's his other last name?
Davis Mills.
Wait.
What do you not understand?
What's
Christian?
His first name?
His first name is Davis.
I'm turning my mic off.
Okay. Another 1 o'clock game is the Denver Broncos improving to 2-0, taking on Trevor Lawrence in the interception show with the Jaguars. Broncos win 23-13. Teddy Bridgewater, another impressive game, 328, two touchdowns. And Melvin Gordon, a guy who had 100 yards last week, only 31 yards in this ball game. And big thing for the Jaguars is Trevor Lawrence, 118 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. And everyone's like, I think this rookie's going to have such a good year. But it's just funny because no rookie quarterback has really been good since Andrew Luck. That just shows. Andrew Luck was like good his first game. Not really.
Well, Mayfield?
Baker Mayfield didn't even start originally as a rookie.
I'm saying when he was like.
I mean, Andrew Luck took the Colts team that was 2-14 to the playoffs at 11-5.
I guess, yeah, because they went from what, the first pick in the draft to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, Baker Mayfield went from a 1-15 team to, as a backup, to being a playoff contender team in the first 5 years of his career. Like,
yes.
Baker Mayfield's a good early quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't see what you're saying is wrong. Like, you're saying,
the thing is, he wasn't a starter.
No quarterback has been a day one starter and played as good as since Andrew Luck. As you see Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, you know how they're playing.
Yeah, so, I get it.
Trevor Lawrence's QB rating right now is like a 57.
What about Johnny Manziel? You're forgetting Johnny Manziel.
He didn't play week one, and oh my.
And don't even bring those times up.
But James Robinson for the Jaguars did have 47 yards, and the Jaguars' offense just did not look good. I did make a grand mistake of starting DJ Shark in my fantasy league. One reception, 19 yards. For the Broncos, though, they did have a good receiving game. Cortland Sutton, who got hurt last year, ACL, came back strong. 159 yards, 9 receptions, and Noah Fant, 33 yards, and a touchdown. The Broncos, 2-0 for the first time since Peyton Manning. So going to another 1 o'clock game, and a game that no one expected, like no one. We all picked this game to be going the other way than it did, but the Panthers start the season 2-0 versus the Saints. They win 26-7. Jameis Winston, he slowed down a lot. Sam Darnold, big day, 305, two touchdowns, an interception. Christian McCaffrey, a guy that no one said will be back to what he used to be. He's doing it again. 72 yards, a rushing touchdown, 65 yards receiving. Big day, Christian McCaffrey. They get a big win over the Saints. Jameis Winston, 111 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. I think he needs to get LASIK once again, but it was rough.
Yeah, I think our last show, we all thought the Saints would pull out the win against the Panthers, but Jameis Winston came back to earth, started being a human again, and then just went kind of back to his old form and did not play well at all.
Yeah, sorry. Christian McCaffrey played really well as he was injured last year. And he comes back. Looks like he didn't even miss a beat. Playing really well as the Panthers take this one home. I didn't, like you said, I don't think anybody was really expecting this game to go into the Panthers' hands.
Hey, so maybe just the Jets are just terrible. Because Sam Donald's playing pretty good for the Panthers.
Yeah.
We'll see. But let's not overreact. I still don't think they're good.
I don't think the Jets have ever recovered since Joe Namath was quarterback.
They went to the AFC Championship game 2 straight years.
Nope, fake.
Fake?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, they were good. They
haven't recovered since the butt fumble.
That's what I was, the butt fumble. They haven't recovered since then.
Maybe one day, Jets fans. Maybe one day.
Yeah, we have one of our guys, Peyton Scholl, is a Jets fan, and we make fun of him every week.
Well, I feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Going to another 1 o'clock game, a game I watched deeply, a game that gave me very much pain and sadness, was the Rams beating the Colts 27-14. Rams start the season 2-0. Colts start the season 0-2. And Carson Wentz played pretty well, besides in the red zone for the Colts. Wentz, 247, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, a touchdown to Zach Pascal, who has all 3 of Wentz's touchdown passes so far on the season. And he did throw his first interception of the season as well, 20-31. And his only interception was on a shovel pass intended for Jack Doyle, who fell, and it was intercepted by a linebacker. So the Colts struggled in the first half. They had an extremely good second half. And they scored 18 points in the second half to battle back to attempt to win this game, including a punt that went off a player's arm, recovered by a Colts for a touchdown. Jonathan Taylor did not have himself a day at all. 51 yards, 15 carries. Marlon Mack did play, though. 5 carries, 16 yards. Not too bad for him. But Nyheim Hines did not play barely at all. And I'm just confused why you're going to take Hines out for Mack. You just paid him. Doesn't make sense. Only 1 carry for 5 yards. But the thing about this game is, I think we all know what we're going to get to, is Carson Wentz. Fourth quarter, Aaron Donald had a heyday against this Colts offensive line. This Colts offensive line is just a bunch of paperbacks. And I think my great-grandma could block better than them, especially the Davenport right tackle. That was scary, to say the least. I mean, he's better than me, but he's not good against Aaron Donald. Quinn Nelson actually played a really good game against Donald, but that's it. So Wentz on the Colts were attempting to have a comeback. Carson Wentz goes under center, looks to run. Aaron Donald wraps him up. His ankle does a little spin-a-roonsy around his foot. He goes down, walks off the field. The Colts do kick a field goal. It is good. But Carson Wentz.
Rodrigo.
Yeah. And Carson Wentz goes to the sideline. Did not return in this ballgame. Jacob Easton comes in, says, why not? Chucks it up in triple coverage to Jack Doyle. He cannot do that. Intercepted Jalen Ramsey. Ball game over. Colts lose 27-14.
24.
What
did I say, 17?
You 14. Said 14.
Oh, 24. 27-24. Yeah.
Also, too, per the Colts, that he was that Wentz got injured previously in that game and played on it until the whole spinarooski with his ankle.
Well, no, his other ankle had a low ankle sprain.
Right, and right. And then
the play where his ankle did a whole loop around his leg was the high ankle sprain. Carson Wentz does have 2 sprained ankles going into this next game against the Titans, a team we'll talk about later. But, that game was wild against Seattle. I watched that one, too. But this one was interesting, to say the least. The Colts defense did step up at times. They did have lots of stops, but Cooper Kupp had a heyday against this Colts off defense. 163, 9 receptions, 2 touchdowns. Matthew Stafford, 278, 2 touchdowns, the interception. Middle of the field to Willis. He caught it, almost hit the ground. Was an interception. And the Colts do lose and start the season 0-2. But one big thing about this Colts team is they have such a tough start to the season. And, I mean, no one expected them to win both of these games. I still think this team is going to make the playoffs if Wentz plays and is not hurt for a long period of time. I do not think the Titans are good. Their defense is atrociously bad. They got lucky. Derrick Henry got going. And he's not going to do that every week. I mean, he probably will. But their defense is just that bad. They would have to score in almost every possession. And I don't know. I don't want to overreact. I know a lot of people are saying this offensive line is terrible. Braden Smith did not play in this ball game, and Eric Fisher was on played a drive, did not play a drive. So this team confuses me. I don't know why they didn't. They literally went away from running the ball in the second half. Jonathan Taylor was not a factor. There was like a third down and one, and they gave the ball to Marlon Mack, and I just don't think he's fully healed. It was just, this game was pain. I mean, play calling. You have the ball at the 1 yard line, you run four straight times, and you get, well, you run three straight times, and then on the fourth down and one on the goal line, you run a play action pass, and obviously the Rams are going to send a big old blitz because they think you're going to run again. Carson Wentz gets sacked, loss of 22. Rams ball, they go down to score, and this is just, this game hurt.
It was just a tactical mess on the Colts' perspective overall.
Yeah. Just the Colts beat themselves, I feel like, with Wentz's injury. Donald was everywhere, though, on the Colts' defensive line, but they could have played better. I mean, like you said, Stafford played a decent game, but I feel like the Colts could have won that game.
Yeah, and the thing about that four downs on, like, the one-yard line and not being able to score.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened rather early in the game, and that happening that early, it really can just set a tone for the rest of the game and being like, oh, this offense isn't going to play that great today. It's not going to be able to punch the ball into the end zone. But they ended up being able to put up some points on the Rams, only losing by three. But that's just one of the worst ways you could start, by just failing in the red zone like that.
What was it? First and goal at the one, and they didn't get any points? Something like that.
Oh, yeah. They were on the goal line twice and did not score. A shovel pass, that would have been a wide open, they say. Jack Doyle fell down, interception.
That play looked ugly, replay. Because since he fell down, it looked really bad.
I think he would have scored if he didn't fall down.
Cue the circus music.
Because the ball went straight to the defense, and it just...
I mean,
I looked at it. If he didn't fall, I think it would have been... It would have been.
He would have gained a couple of yards, maybe, but yeah. I just don't.
It was right in his hands.
And another thing is about this Colts team is they're at the 20, 30-yard line. I just don't understand why they don't take shots in the end zone. They just do not. They've done it a few times. Like last year with Rivers, they were taking shots every other play, it seemed like. Carson has a cannon. Take a shot. Eason has a cannon, too. If he's the quarterback next week, I just hope he looks through his reads. He just went one and threw it.
I mean, if he's going to try and make some plays as the backup, he may want to take some shots downfield.
I mean, with you saying that, with Philip Rivers doing that last year, Wentz is a cannon, but he's more of a running quarterback than Rivers is, so Rivers doesn't really have an...
Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than Philip Rivers was last year.
I'm saying he didn't have...
He can move better.
But yeah,
he can move better.
He's just more mobile than Philip Rivers, and Rivers, if he's not going for the run game, he's either going... a middle pass, like, or deep pass, so he just aired it out more than Wentz would.
No.
Because he can't move as much as Wentz can.
Of course. So that means your pocket and your O-line has to play good, meaning Rivers never had to run for his life.
Right. Wentz was essentially playing tag against the Rams, and he was never it.
Basically, but Wentz has a cannon, meaning you can take deeper shots. And... that's one thing. You can take deeper shots in the end zone than you could with Rivers. And I know Rivers is the smarter quarterback than Wentz in a way. I mean, he still threw a lot of interceptions too. But Wentz has talent to be the guy. He showed last week before getting injured that he can be a magician. I saw Colin Coward. He was tweeting it out saying, I'm losing faith in Wentz. And then a couple months later, he made a crazy play. Wentz is an extreme talent, and there was a reason he was picked number 2 by Philly. There's a reason he almost won MVP. I mean, he is a talented quarterback. He started to get his swagger back and then an injury. I just hope if he can heal fast and he comes back, this does not affect him for the rest of the year and makes him sad, because obviously he is a little bit of an emotional guy. And it's just, I just hope this doesn't affect him for too long, and hopefully the Colts can get winning. I mean, they got a tough matchup, and we'll talk about that next on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about, like, his emotions, it's got to be frustrating to be on that team and just constantly having to be running for your line. And one of the best relationships you need is between, like, your O-line and the quarterback, because they have to work together so much on every single play. So if there's kind of some distrust between them, or they just, like, aren't enjoying playing with each other, and mainly, like, the not trusting each other thing, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, but, yeah, we'll see. They play the Titans next week. So we'll talk about that this Thursday here on the Sports Spotlight. Jackson White here with Kevin Gleva and Christian
Hernandez.
I don't know. I'm so used to saying adding in that extra syllable. But so we got some more games here. So, and this next game was featuring a former Colts quarterback who did have to step in for an injured quarterback. It is the Bills. Big blowout win over the Dolphins, 35-0. And Josh Allen having himself a decent day. He didn't put up too many amazing stats, but he played really good. 17 for 33, 179 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception. Devin Singletary, 82 yards and a rushing touchdown. Zach Moss, 26 yards, 2 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs got a touchdown in the middle of the end zone from Josh Allen. Big blowout win. Tua got hurt early in the first quarter. He went 1 for 4 at 13 yards. And then Jacoby Brissett, the fourth down and one run master last season for the Colts, did sign with the Dolphins this past offseason. 169 yards, no touchdowns and interception. 24 for 40. So, and you think the Colts offensive line is bad, you should see the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think the main thing about this game is the Dolphins are just hoping Tua's injury is not too serious and he'll be able to come back and keep being the QB1 for them. As Brissett didn't do too terribly, but I mean, I think Tua is definitely who they would trust more and rather be out there managing the game. And Jalen Waddle, the receiver for the Dolphins, the rookie, he's had a pretty solid start to the year. He had 6 receptions for 48 yards on Sunday. So another pretty solid performance for the rookie.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play that bad. He really didn't.
I think there's a lot of upside to him.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think we're just going to have to see the rest of the season. But going to a game that did feature 2 rookie quarterbacks, a game that won through a lot of interceptions, and a game that a player that didn't throw too many interceptions, is the Patriots taking on the Jets. Mac Jones taking on Zach Wilson, the number 2 pick, taking on the number 15 pick, I think it was. Yeah, 15th pick in the Patriots. Patriots, big win, 25-6. Mac Jones, 186. No touchdowns, no interceptions. 22 for 30. And they kind of just put, they haven't really opened up the playbook too much with Wilson yet. So I think around week 6 is when we're going to see him maybe put up some statistical numbers. But right now, he's just kind of that passive quarterback. So we're going to see. But the Patriots, another good running game with Harris, James White, all having rushing touchdowns. So Patriots, big win. But the thing how they won this game was Zach Wilson, 210 yards, 19 for 33. Not that bad, right? No touchdowns. It could be better. 4 interceptions. Yeah, 4 interceptions. Zach Wilson was throwing some ducks out there, and they weren't happy ducks. They were bad. And that's why they only scored 6 points, and this game was rough.
Yeah, going into this game, I put my money on Zach Wilson. I thought he was going to be able to lead the Jets to a win over the Patriots. And week 1, his performance was pretty solid for a rookie starting, so I was like, all right, I think he'll be able to do this. And then goes out, throws 4 interceptions, and it was just a rough outing for the Jets, only putting 6 points up on the board. So they're still just those rookie quarterbacks getting used to the league, getting reps in games. So they still got a lot of time to figure it out and try and turn the season around for their teams.
Yeah, going to another Sunday game. This was a 1 o'clock game as well. And the Bears, big win over the Bengals 20-17. Big news for the Bears, Justin Fields is going to be the starter probably next week, as Andy Dalton did go down with an injury. He did throw a touchdown, 56 yards. Justin Fields came in, threw more passes than Dalton, less yards, and an interception. So Fields did not play particularly a good game last week, but they do love him in Chicago. And I think the Bengals should have won this game. I really do. Joe Burrow just did not play a good game here. He was 19 for 30, 207 yards, two touchdowns, three interceptions. And those three interceptions happened on three consecutive passes, two pick sixes. And they lost this game because of Burrow throwing it to the wrong team.
Yeah, Burrow was another one of those players that after week one, it was like, wow, he is ready to go. His injury did not slow him down. And then week two comes around and he goes out and throws three picks. So not a very good thing you want to see for him. But I think the Justin Fields to starter in Chicago, I think that could be a solid move, as of course he hasn't played incredible yet, but just develop the rookie, because a lot of people are impressed with the skill set he has. He just needs to be able to put it to use in a game. So if they can actually start putting him in the game, getting him a lot of reps and experience, which is very important for players, I think he can start to be a pretty solid quarterback.
Yeah, we're going to have to see. People do like him in Chicago. He's a big part of that team. So we're going to have to see for the future of the Bears. Is Justin Fields the guy? Going to a game we're just going to fly past through. Buccaneers, big win over the Falcons, 48-25. The Falcons are not good. Tom Brady, five touchdowns, 276 yards passing. Leonard Fournette, 52 yards rushing. Mike Evans, finally having a good day, 75 yards, two touchdowns. Rob Gronkowski, if you have him in fantasy, you're a lucky man. Another two-touchdown game, 39 yards. Big win for the Buccaneers as they start off 2-0. Another good game here that ended in a game-missing field goal. Cardinals, Vikings. Vikings played in a good game here. They are 0-2, but this team is better than what they've shown. Cardinals win 34-33. Kirk Cousins, three touchdowns, 244 yards. Dalvin Cook having himself a day. 133 yards, no touchdowns, but good game. Kyler Murray, another MVP-ish game. 400 yards, three touchdowns, two interceptions, and the Purdue standout Rondale Moore leading the team and receiving 114 yards and a touchdown. And A.J. Green finally getting himself back in the end zone for the first time in 2 years. A touchdown, 44 yards for himself. But the play that happened was the kicker, Joseph, missing a game-winning field goal from 40 out. He missed. It was right. And the Cardinals get the win to start the season 2-0.
Yeah, this was one of those games I thought the Vikings were going to be able to pull it off and beat the Cardinals, but they were just one play away from winning that ball game. Of course, Kyler Murray having another great week, putting up very good numbers. Two interceptions aren't the best, but he still was able to lead the team to the win with the 400 yards and three touchdowns. And so far, this offense for this Cardinals team, it's tough to slow down, so it'll be interesting to see throughout the season if they can keep playing like that, or if defenses will start to learn about it and adjust and slow them down, or if they'll just be able to keep doing what they want.
Yeah, I mean, this Cardinals team, they have an explosive offense. Their defense does have to step up a little bit. I mean, they allowed the Vikings to 33.
Yeah, that's their issue.
But, I mean, we'll see. They do have talent. I mean, they have Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt for a reason. I mean, they're both talented players, so we will have to see week three. I do not know who they play. They play the Jaguars, so I do think they are going to be 3-0. Going to another 4 o'clock game was the Titans taking on the Seahawks, and this game was wild. This game did go into overtime. Russell Wilson, two touchdowns, 343 yards. Tyler Lockett, he's been a beast so far this season. One touchdown, 178 yards. But for the Titans, Derrick Henry had himself a day. 182 yards, three touchdowns, 35 carries. Derrick Henry is the guy, and he showed it. Julio Jones also having a big day as well, 128 yards receiving, showing he is still there. Titans win on a game-winning field goal. They came back. They were down big. They got a touchdown. They got a two-point conversion, took it to overtime, stopped Seattle on offense, and scored a field goal to win the ball game. And the Titans do not fall to 0-2. They go 1-1 on the year, same with Seattle. And they play the Colts next week and the Titans, looking like the team they used to be.
Yeah, a big recovery game for Derrick Henry, as week one was a pretty poor performance for him, especially for the caliber of running back he is. But then he came out this week and really just exploded, almost had 6 yards per carry, which is just huge for an offense when you can get 6 a carry. And really, both quarterbacks played solid games, no interceptions between the two of them, and a lot of yards thrown, both going over 300. But this game just came down to who was able to put points up when they were needed, and just kind of right time to have the ball, as all it took was a field goal in overtime, and they were able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, I mean, that was a close game, and the Titans get their way. They get their first win of the season, going to another game that was close, and it was a good game. I caught lots of this game as well. It was the Cowboys taking on the Chargers. Both teams entered this week going 1-1 in their last game. Well, no, the Cowboys lost week one, excuse me, but the Chargers did win, so one team 1-0, one team 0-1. And the Cowboys got the win 20-17 on a game-winning Greg Zuerlein kick, and he made up for it, what he did last week. They did win the ball game. Dak Prescott didn't play too well, not too bad. 237 yards, one interception. Tony Pollard had 100 yards rushing, the backup running back for Dallas, 109 and a touchdown. Zeke Elliott had his best game in a while, 71 yards and a touchdown. Justin Herbert didn't play too bad, 2 interceptions. He didn't look, he just looked a little bit pressured out there. Dallas really did improve their defense this offseason. I think they did. But the Cowboys get a big win over the Chargers. Going to Sunday night now, the Ravens get a massive, huge win. There's Ravens fans going crazy saying they're the next Super Bowl champions. Okay, buddy, slow down. Big win, 36-35 over the Kansas City Chiefs. Lamar Jackson showed that he is that guy. 239 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. 107 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson, big day. 4th-and-1, you have the lead. What do? You go for it on 4th-and-1, and you get it with Lamar Jackson. He's that guy. Great game. And this lived up to all the hype that it needed. I thought it was going to go the other way, but the Ravens get a big win over the Chiefs. Mahomes throws an interception, his first one in the month of September. And the Ravens, big win.
Yeah, I think one of the big things is Travis Kelce, the tight end for the Chiefs, went for 109 yards, so he had a big game himself and a touchdown. But their star receiver, Tyreek Hill, only having 14 yards the entire game. I mean, for someone like him who in week one had an incredible performance, to go and then only have 14 yards, it's kind of disappointing to see that for the Chiefs. But, I mean, it's just well played by the Ravens to be able to pull that win off. That 4th-and-1 that Lamar Jackson was able to convert really just kind of tipped them over the edge to win that game. So a really big win to get this Ravens team rolling early in the season.
And yeah, I mean, this is a Ravens team that struggled week one. I mean, they lost to the Raiders. So big win, big bounce back win, and the Chiefs lose for the first time in September in a while. And then a Monday night game that did live up to the hype. This game didn't really have any hype. But Aaron Rodgers got back off of his grave, and he had an excellent game. 255 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Aaron Jones had a touchdown as well with 67 yards. Jared Goff did not play too bad. I mean, the Lions had the lead at halftime. They did not score in the second half. 2 touchdowns, an interception, 246 yards for Jared Goff. And this was a good Monday night game. And the Lions, this team is not as bad as people say they are.
No, the Lions are definitely solid. They got some good pieces. TJ Hockenson able to receive the ball well, as he is a tight end. He had a touchdown in that game. And really, the big thing for the Packers this game, and anyone who has Aaron Jones in fantasy, he had 4 touchdowns total, so almost scoring all the touchdowns for the Packers. I mean, he had 48 yards receiving, 67 rushing, so all around he put up like a Christian McCaffrey type game.
Yeah, I mean, it was just an excellent game there. And the Packers, get a win. Rodgers did play good, so.
Yeah, it bounced back for Rodgers.
Bounced back, and he was a guy who had one fantasy point, and now he had 27. So, big game there, and that will wrap up week two of the NFL season. It was a good another week, and week three is already going to be underway next Thursday, so we're going to talk about every single game that's going to be happening going in to this next NFL week three. But switching topics now, the NBA. Big news is, we haven't talked about the NBA in a while, but Ben Simmons did announce that he will not be playing for the Sixers another game. So I just thought that was wild.
Yeah, as probably the GM or the president of the Sixers franchise, if I were them, I mean, I'd probably just be tired of the situation. That drama with him has been going on for quite a while, and now that he is saying he is not going to play for them, the best they can do is just trade, try and get some value out of him, as he is a pretty solid player. Yeah, I mean, he's known for not being able to shoot, but he can defend well. He's a good rebounder for a point guard. I mean, probably because he's such a big point guard. But he's probably going to be out of Philly, I guess, unless they keep him for some reason.
Yeah, I would assume that he will be out of Philly, but we do not know. I mean, as of right now, I mean, he's a talented player. If he can find out a shoot, he will be in. I mean, he's a two-time All-Star for a reason. I know recency bias is he sucks. He does not suck. He's amazing. He is a great, great, great defender. He's one of the best in the league. He's one of the best passers in the league. If he could shoot the ball, that would just be wild. But we're going to have to see, and maybe the Sixers keep him. They could talk him out of it. I don't know, but I do think he will be traded. But that will wrap up this segment here, and we are going to go to a 30-second break and come back with some soccer news with our very own Christian here on the Sports Spotlight. So we'll be right back after 30 seconds.
Pass it on. Here's a short quiz. Who won Best Actress last year? Who won the World Series 2 years ago? And finally, name your favorite teacher. Pass it on. Now I'm guessing that the last question was the easiest. Why is that? Because that person made a difference in your life. So, go ahead and make a difference. Because making a difference is in you. Pass it on. From PassItOn.com.
This is Indy's Giant 90.9, WBDG-FM HD1, Indianapolis.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. I'm Jackson White here with Kevin Gleva and Christian Hernandez here. And now we're going to go to Christian with all your sports info you need for soccer.
Thank you, Jackson. Today I'm going to be talking about analyzing some teams and their next match in the Champions League. The first match we'll be talking about is Shakhtar Donetsk versus Inter Milan. Let's look at the Ukrainian Giants first. Shakhtar lost in match day one, the Champions League new boys sheriff, 2-0. Some might be quick to say that they're going to get bashed by Inter, but didn't play bad by any means. They did have an incredible 91% pass possession rate, 20 shots, 17 corners, and 75% possession. These are stats that a team should have to win, and the thing that really let them down was their finishing on the day. They only had 3 shots on target out of the 20 that they took. In Ukrainian top flight, their top marksman, Traore, has 5 goals in 6 matches. Inter Milan are also coming off of a loss, barely losing to Real Madrid. Despite the loss, they do have a lot to look forward coming into their next match. Inter had a great pass possession rate of 88% and 18 shots with 5 proving the challenge to the goalkeeper. Their stats may not be as impressive as Shakhtar, but they do have a starting 11 of clinical finishers such as Joaquin Correa, Lautaro Martinez, and Dest Kouyaté have a combined 8 goals in 4 games together in the Serie A. With all this, looking at the stats, I'd say it's a win for Inter Milan, but Shakhtar could have enough drive and willpower to provide a challenge to Inter. Coming forward from one match to another is match 2 between Ajax and Besiktas. Ajax are coming into match day 2 with a 5-1 win over Sporting Lisbon. They were just on a different level when it came to being prolific, having 13 shots, 6 being on target, and having a decent 84% pass possession rate. The striker Hala had an out-of-his-world performance, bagging himself 4 goals on the day, and on top of that, he has 5 goals in 5 games in his domestic league. Ajax should be looking pretty solid going into this match. Besiktas are coming off of a frustrating 2-1 loss versus Dortmund. I say it's frustrating because honestly, they were the better team on the day. They had 58% possession, 88% pass possession rate, and 12 shots taken with 3 on target. They just fell short, not finding the back of the net until a 90th minute, which just gives them not enough time to search for that comeback draw. Well, they do have great players with the likes of Pjanic and Batshuayi, who is their top scorer right now with 3 goals in 4 matches, so he's doing well for himself in his new home. So, I don't know. It should be a pretty even game, I'd say. But looking at it, I think Ajax are just going to win this as they are really in form right now. Match 3, we got Real Madrid versus Sheriff. Real Madrid had quite a fight last time out, only winning 1-0 against Inter Milan, but they did get the win in the end. Despite that, Real Madrid is an incredible squad that can easily win games if they are able to get their play style off. Their stats from last game are pretty good, with an 87% pass possession rate and 54% possession. The main takeaway from Real Madrid is their star man Benzema, who has stepped up ever since Cristiano Ronaldo left to be their star man, obviously. He has 6 goals in 5 matches this season. Besides Benzema, they got several players who are in form, such as Vinicius Jr., new boy Camavinga, who's been playing phenomenal for them since signing in the summer, and Rodrigo. Sheriff shocked everyone last week, whether it was that they won or that they just played fairly well. But yeah, I can't help but feel like it was just an opportunity for them. They didn't play too well, but they took the opportunities and it worked out for them. They got 2 shots and they took it and they scored both. So, I mean, it's pretty good for them. And their current top goal scorer this season is Adama Traore with 5 goals in 9 matches. But overall, I do see it's an easy win on the cards for Real Madrid. Match 4, AC Milan versus Atletico Madrid. AC Milan's fate from last game was quite similar to their cross-city rivals Inter. They barely lost 3-2 to Liverpool. They may have found 2 goals in 2 minutes, but at the end of the half, but they do need to work on their stats as they were pretty underwhelming with a 78% pass possession rate, only having 38% possession, only had 7 shots with 4 being on target, which is honestly pretty good statistic as they did have 4 of their shots challenged the goalkeeper out of the 7 that they took. Their current top goal scorer this season is Oliver Giroud with 2 goals in 2 games. It is noteworthy that they are going through a bit of an injury crisis with their real talisman Ibrahimovic, who is currently out injured, but does have 1 goal in 1 game before getting injured. Atletico Madrid are coming into the match picking up 1 point versus Porto. They'll be fairly frustrated that they didn't win the game last time out despite having 58% possession, 83% pass possession rate, 6 shots with 2 on target. But they cannot find the winning goal. They are struggling with goals in general at the moment, with their top goal scorer being Correa with 3 goals in 5 games. Looking at these stats, I do believe Atletico edge out Milan barely, but AC Milan can take advantage of a slip-up. Moving onwards to Dortmund versus Sporting. Dortmund are coming off of a decent 2-1 win versus Besiktas, where they were very clinical to find those 2 goals. Despite winning, I would say they were getting outplayed at times versus the Turkish team, and their defense did a good job to stop the attack from Besiktas. They took 14 shots, had 7 on target, and a modest 81% pass possession rate. Their current top scorer is last season's Champions League Golden Boot winner Erling Haaland with 7 goals in 5 matches. Whatever happens, I feel like this man will find the net regardless. Sporting got battered last time out against Ajax. They played horribly and really had to step up their game to even stand a chance versus Dortmund. They did have a better pass possession rate than Dortmund with 82% with 9 shots, 3 on target. But their defense really let them down on the day. Their top goal scorer is Goncalves with 3 goals in 4 matches. I have to give this one to Dortmund. I feel like they just have a really good team and they'll outclass Besiktas. Match 6. Everyone will consider this the match of the week, the closest one for sure. Well, now we got PSG versus Man City. Well, let's move on. I call this derby the oil money derby because both of these teams are have really wealthy owners that are into the oil game. So, I don't know. But PSG are coming into this match after a shock draw versus Club Brugge, despite having 9 shots, 4 on target, 64% possession, and a pass possession rate of 88%, PSG got a squad full of world-class players in the forward line of Messi, Neymar, Mbappe, who is their top goal scorer with 4 goals in their last 6 outings. Meanwhile, Manchester City come off of a 6-3 win versus RB Leipzig in a game where they had 51% possession, 85% pass possession rate, and 16 shots, with 8 of them challenging the goalkeeper. So half of their shots were on target, and they were really providing trouble for RB Leipzig on the day. Their top scorer this season is Ferran Torres with 2 goals in 4 games, so this may seem very little, but a good amount of the City squad has found the back of the net. Looking at this, I'd say it's a good chance of a draw, but I do think City have a higher chance to win this match if they do play well on the day. Match 7, we got Benfica versus Barcelona. Benfica are coming into match day 2 with a draw in their last outing against Dynamo Kyiv. They did have some good stats, such as an incredible 69% possession and a solid 89% pass possession rate. What they will be disappointed with is their finishing and shot accuracy. They took 12 shots with only 4 on target, which isn't the worst, but they did fail to find the back end at the end of the day. They should have found it with this dominant performance, but they were unable to. Their top scorer is Darwin Nunez with 4 goals in 4 games. Barcelona are back after losing their last outing to Bayern Munich 3-0. They had a good pass possession rate of 88%, but only took 5 shots and none of them were on target. Barcelona are a club on rebuild right now, and they shouldn't expect too much for this season's Champions League, but they should be able to at least hunt to move on to the last 16. The top scorer this season is Memphis Depay with 2 goals in 4 games. I believe Barcelona should win this game overall. They do have a better team than Benfica, but I wouldn't be surprised talking about Ronald Koeman's tactics. And they did play yesterday as well against Granada. I thought this was funny. For some reason, Ronald Koeman thought it was a brilliant idea to play PK, who usually plays center back, at striker. So that was a questionable decision, I'd have to say. I don't know what what he was doing about that. But yeah, I'd say that Barcelona do have a good chance of winning this match, but they are tactically wrong like they were yesterday, they will lose. Anyway, match 8, we got Juventus versus Chelsea. Last time out, Juventus won their match against Malmo 3-0. They played pretty well and got the job done to get those 3 points. Throughout the match, they had held 61% possession and a pass possession rate of 88%. They took 16 shots with 8 on target, and their top goal scorer this season is Alvaro Morata with 2 goals in 4 matches. Chelsea won their match day 1 fixture versus Zenit thanks to a goal from Romelu Lukaku. The stats that they had were pretty solid with an incredible 91% passing accuracy and a 67% possession. One issue from Chelsea is the finishing. They took 11 shots with only 2 on target. Thank goodness Lukaku was there to finish the shot he had. But speaking of Lukaku, he is the top scorer with 3 goals in 4 games for Chelsea. I'd say this is going to be a relatively close match. I wouldn't rule out a draw, but I do think Chelsea edge out this current Juventus side, who are in kind of like shattered right now thanks to Ronaldo leaving out of nowhere. So we will see. Match 9 is Manchester United versus Villarreal. These two sides meet again. Last time out, it was in the Europa League final, where Manchester United did lose to them on penalties after it was like, they took 11 penalties before one finally scored and won the game. So that was quite a mess. But looking at United, they do come up to this game with a loss from Young Boys thanks to a last-minute mistake from Jesse Lingard, who passed it to one of the strikers in Young Boy, and he finished it, so good for them. On top of that, their stats were not really good with a 79% pass possession rate and a 46% possession. But they did have a red card, so that is kind of understandable. The top scorer is Bruno Fernandes with 4 goals in 5 matches. Villarreal come into match day 1 with a frustrating 2-2 draw versus Atlanta. Their stats in this game were pretty bad with a 78% pass possession rate, only 48% possession, and 14 shots to 7 on target, which isn't too bad, but you need to finish those shots, otherwise you won't win in the game. As simple as that. The Europa League champions this season have been struggling with finding the back end net with only 2 players scoring this season. It was in this game. So they only have 2 goals 5 weeks into the season, so they really need to step it up, or they're not going to be able to progress the group stage in the Champions League. You got to be a lead in the Champions League, or you're not going to make it at all. So with this being said, I do think United will win this game, as they are. Ronaldo's just been scoring every game ever since starting for United, so I do see him having a great game this day, beating the team that beat them in the Europa League final. Other notable matches are Leipzig versus Bruges, which I do have another day. Leipzig bouncing back from that 6-3 defeat and winning that. And at Porto and Liverpool, I see a draw, but I do think Liverpool can win that game if they do play well. Atlanta versus Young Boys, I think Atlanta will win that game. Young Boys had one lucky shot at the end of the game versus Manchester United, and I do not see them beating a team like Atlanta, who are always just good at attacking. Zenit versus Malmo, I do see Zenit winning this one fairly easily. Wolfsburg versus Sevilla, I got Sevilla winning that one. Bayern versus Dynamo Kyiv, Bayern will probably score like 6 goals on these guys, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. And RB Salzburg versus Lille, I do see Salzburg winning this match. Anyway, that's all I have for this little analysis of the teams and who I think will win the next week's Champions League match day 2 results.
thank you to Christian for giving us that soccer analysis. He'll be back on with us talking more soccer on Thursday. You can listen to the Sports Spotlight every Tuesday and Thursday at 1:15. We're always talking basketball, baseball, football, soccer, any sports that's in the news. Stuff is going on. We'll cover it. But that's going to do it for today. For Jackson and Christian, I'm Kevin Gulliva. Thank you for tuning in. But stay tuned to WBDG as we have some good music coming up. Thank you.